We are Vineyard.
Somos Viña.
We are Vineyard.
What was happening in my own life with the Lord was that the shape of my life was beginning to look and be informed more by solitude and silence and contemplative prayer and praying the hours and Catholic theology. And yet there was never, ever anything in me that says, oh, I should just become a Catholic.
Right.
Because I knew that I was called to the vineyard and I knew that I was supposed to stay. And so like that was the disorienting part.
Yeah, would be, like, I'd say. Yeah.
Most people who feel the things I was feeling, they just become a Catholic.
Totally. Yeah.
And it, again, just this is where the prophetic, I'm just so grateful for our tradition. It's like God just kept me boundaried in the family that he had placed me in, the vineyard family. And was just like, these two things, they're meant to go together.
Welcome to the We Are Vineyard podcast, conversations to help us grow with Jesus and each other. On today's episode, we have the second part of the conversation between Jay and Jared Boyd, a vineyard pastor and the founding director of the Order of the Common Life. Let's listen in.
There's a big jump between reading something.
Yeah.
Starting to personally embody something. And actually figuring out what does that mean for like my professional life, my relationships, my trajectory of being. Jamie obviously has to decide she's coming along with you. How do all those things start to take root for you? What are the moments that you're like, oh, this is like, this could be my, like what I am and how I live and what, how I lead?
I think that was a much longer journey for me than it is for most people. I think for various reasons, I think some fear based, I think some just like the work that the Lord was doing in me. I was very hesitant to imagine. I just couldn't imagine myself as a leader. I mean, maybe this goes back to even just some of what we were talking about on the front side. I just, and I think it was, I started like doing some leading and preaching at Central Vineyard back in like 07, 08, 09. I started meeting with a spiritual director. So this is sort of the years I came in contact with Dave Nixon. Dave cared for me really well. He was my first spiritual director. And it was in spiritual direction that I began to feel like, oh man, something is coming alive for me here. Like something here is being nurtured in my life with God that I've never gotten anywhere else. And so I was doing that for like years before I began to imagine, okay, maybe I could actually give myself to this kind of work, pastoral work. So I was come on staff like part-time at Central Vineyard. At the time I was working at Ohio State in higher ed administration. You know, we had three kids coming on four in those seasons. So we're just like in the busy, tired years of parenting. And then in 2010, you know, I was thinking about church planting. And as I began to pray about church planting, the only thing that I could imagine is, like an urban monastery. And so this is like the very beginning of God beginning to speak to me. And even now that I say it, I'm just like, God, what are you doing? Like,
what do you mean?
It's just like, you know, here I am. I'm a vineyard guy.
Right.
And I'm praying about church planting. And the only thing I get from the Lord is this whole monastic stream. And so that was 2010. And you throw in like a dozen prophetic words and all these encounters at national conference and people coming up to me who don't know me and saying things that are so in line with this, that over the course of a couple of years, I just sat with all of this in prayer. And it finally was something that I began to speak out to some other people in 2012. I actually remember having a conversation with you. I'm almost positive it was at a golf course, back when I golfed and,
yeah,
you know,
it was in, Where was that? That was,
I think it was in Denver.
Yeah. It was Colorado Springs. We were south of the city. Yeah. We were just a little south.
Incredible.
Yeah.
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 And I asked you, I think I asked you in 2012, like, do you have any imagination that this could ever happen in the vineyard?
Yeah.
And you were like, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could imagine that, mm-hmm. you know, and I think we had like a 30-minute conversation and.
Yep. I remember that.
So I just began having all of these conversations, trying to like pay attention to like, it doesn't feel like I'm supposed to plant a traditional church. Mm-hmm. Feels like I'm supposed to do something else, but I didn't know how to do that. And I didn't know what that was. And so I spent a couple of years just really talking to people.
Okay. I mean, there's so many interesting moves there. Well, yeah, because it's like, okay, so then, because obviously in almost any, in many other streams, let's say, there would be a clear set of next steps for that kind of a conversation, right? Like, okay, well, maybe you should join an order, or are you in the kind of church that hosts an order and or practices in this way, right? So like if you're a Catholic, it's like, okay, I'm not sure I want to join an order or be in it. But, you know, there's a church in town that kind of practices components of this in a way that I can kind of get my head around it. And maybe my family can figure this out with me. You know, there's like steps, like, you know, there's ways this works within our tradition. I mean, even, you know, in the Anglican Church, you know, we have,
that's right,
this kind of church has this kind of an emphasis that's different than this other one I was at. And yeah, maybe we'll drive across town or we'll move even to that part of town and be a part of that and kind of get our head around this and, you know, think through, or actually there's this, food pantry that is from Catholic Charities and some of the nuns work there and the priests, and I can get to know, you know, like, so if I decided right now, okay, I'm going to do that. I know in Denver, a whole bunch of places I could probably go and sit with somebody and try to understand their life. And, but in the vineyard, I don't have like another, like, what's my next move? I mean, the closest would be what you described at the time would have been Dave Nixon, some of what he was doing in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But how do you start to build an imagination for this? What are the next steps? Or do you just jump off the diving board? Like, I don't know. We'll just try some things.
Well, I think I should say that while I was trying to figure out these questions in that sort of 2010, 2012 period, what was happening in my own life with the Lord was that the shape of my life was beginning to look and be informed more by solitude and silence and contemplative prayer and praying the hours and Catholic theology. And yet there was never, ever anything in me that says, oh, I should just become a Catholic.
Right.
Because I knew that I was called to the vineyard and I knew that I was supposed to stay. And so like that was the disorienting part would be is like,
I'd say.
Most people who feel the things I was feeling, they just become a Catholic.
Totally. Yeah.
And it, again, just this is where the prophetic, I'm just so grateful for our tradition. It's like God just kept me boundaried in the family that he had placed me in, the vineyard family, and was just like, these two things, they're meant to go together. And I have language for that now, you know, 15 years later about how they go together. We can get into that a little bit. But at the time, it was in 2012, I gathered a bunch of people for a discernment retreat during Holy Week of 2012, actually. And Phil Strout and Mark Fields and Dave Nixon and Jody and Mark and or Barb and Ross Naylor Tatterson.
Oh, yeah.
It's like 10 other people. Steve Hamilton. And I gathered them down at the convent in Cincinnati, and I just asked a question. Here's what I think God is calling me to do. I think God is calling me to plant a religious order in and for the vineyard. And If you have an imagination for that, I would love for you to bless it. And if you don't, then I won't do it. And at the end of like a 3-day sort of discernment retreat, everyone was like, you know, go for it.
Like whatever video. It means. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, I walked away with like, okay, like I feel like I have a blessing, but yeah. I have no idea what to do next.
Yeah.
And so I just started studying and reading and spent the next year and a half writing our first rule of life. That's all I knew from the tradition that would be the good next step. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how things began. And that was like the spring of 2014.
It's great. Just over 12 years ago ish.
Yeah. Yes.
So 14 from the retreat coming up like next week.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So then talk about what is that developed into? So describe where we are today. And then I'd love to try to figure out what does that mean for what it means to be in the vineyard? So let's do that order. Like, tell me where we are now. What has happened? So there we were 12 years ago. Here we are today. Where are we?
Yeah. So originally we spent the first 6 years sort of incubating under the umbrella of Sustainable Faith. Mm-hmm. And was helping to lead there and, you know, training spiritual directors and doing all kinds of stuff. And then in 2019, it just became clear that if I was really going to put my shoulder behind this and to do this, I kind of need to kind of come out from underneath that greenhouse and just kind of be planted on my own with some of the other folks around me. And so that's when we transitioned to be called the Order of the Common Life. And we just began inviting people into formation and began to form different formation pathways. And we've spent the past like 5.5-6 years sort of just building that out. And so we're kind of landed on 4 primary focuses for the work that we do with the Order of the Common Life. The first one is that we invite people to discern whether they want to join a religious order. And that is like a 5-6 year formation process through like the historical formation pathways of postulancy, novitiate, and the discernment of vows. Mm-hmm. So we've decided to keep some of the language that is like rooted in history for very like important reasons. And we just keep having people come to us. So we had like 100 people in 2025 begin that process of postulancy. And some people go on to the novitiate and some people end up after 5 or so years discerning whether they want to take initial vows, just like you would if you were a Jesuit or a Franciscan or a Dominican. So again, as you mentioned, I mean, in the Catholic Church, they've just got all of these categories. They've got all this
infrastructure. It just works a certain way. Yeah, totally.
And I think at the center of like what I'm trying to do, what I feel called to do is to birth that really wonderful thing that the Catholic Church has been holding outside of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And it's not just Vineyard people. We've got people from all different backgrounds and denominations and walks of life, mostly from the US, but even from overseas in the UK. And we've got a woman in a cohort right now who's in Russia and folks in South Africa. So we are inviting people to consider whether the shape of their life, whether they desire the shape of their life to kind of live under the rule of life that we have created. Mm-hmm. The second thing that we're trying to do is to reestablish the monastery as an urban center of formation. So I want to build monasteries, that sort of first instinct of church planting. Mm-hmm. We would love to do, and I think that that's going to take a really long time in order for us to see that come to pass. And the third thing we're doing is training spiritual directors and recentering that work in the local church, which I'm happy to say a little bit more about.
Yep.
And the fourth thing is whatever we can do to renew the church with the love of God. So every religious order over time has a particular charism. You know, you think about the Franciscans, they serve the poor, or the Jesuits, they're on mission. We have discovered and begun to articulate that our charism is the love of God. Mm-hmm. We are trying to help people notice and nurture the love of God in their life and the life of those around them. And we have just come to believe that, like, the thing that changes people is an encounter with the love of God, which brings us back to why I think this whole thing gets birthed out of somebody in the vineyard.
Yeah. Say more about that. Cause I intuitively start to make connections, but I'd love to hear you describe that.
I think if you think about the past 50 years of the vineyard, I think down the center is we are people who understand that God is pouring out into our hearts his love through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about encounter and encountering the love of God. Even in our history, the love of God is just splattered all throughout the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And you've obviously shared your story, you know, the whole warm gel and jello kind of story. Everybody loves that story.
I love it especially.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. Mine was not jello, but I had a very similar encounter when I mm-hmm. came to the vineyard at the age of 16. Mm-hmm. I had a profound encounter with the presence of the love of God, mm-hmm. like just bearing down on me, overwhelming in worship. And I think I'm 48 now. I think I'm realizing that, like, I think I've spent most of my sort of ministry life trying to figure out how to give that away. Mm-hmm. And as I have looked deeper into this monastic tradition, I think that that's what that tradition is also about. Mm-hmm. It is about an encounter with the love of God and doing our role, our part, to remove all of the distractions of our life so that we can actually get a really clear view of the way in which God is loving us and tending to us and caring for us, and becoming people who love. Hmm. So I just think there's a shared charism here with the vineyard.
Yeah. So say more about that, because I doubt anyone listening would say that sounds dumb. Like, why would anybody want to embody, encounter, express the love of God? That sounds so niche. So obviously, I think most people who have a life with God would be like, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
What do you think, first of all, you said a few things quickly, but what are the obstacles that you're trying to remove?
Yeah.
What are the ways that you're trying to facilitate and or have build an expectation that that's like what life really is? And then why do you think the vineyard, you've said it again, you know, why is the vineyard somehow embodying that, like in the ways that we're trying to live? I mean, I'm trying to see, like, what do you think is between here and there? Like, anybody would be like, yeah, sure, I want that. Where's the gap?
I think a lot of times the expectation in the vineyard, not always, but a lot of the expectation is that we will have these encounters sort of like all at once, mm-hmm. big doses, like what you had and what I had, and mm-hmm. that is like the norm. And historically, particularly in this tradition of religious orders and monastic life, they talk about the same kind of thing, but they talk about it developing over time, mm-hmm. really slowly. And I think what people miss out on is like a real permission to allow themselves to recognize that my love for God is going to grow over time.
Yes.
And that's okay. Like, you don't need to come out of the gate like burning with fire inside of you.
Yes.
There are times when God pours out a particular thing, and that's wonderful, but we all know that is not the thing that sort of sustains you. Mm-hmm. But what is also true is that, and I don't think people have the permission for, is that it takes time to learn how to notice and pay attention to the way in which God is loving me. Mm-hmm. But this is just how relationships work It's like, I can see clearly now the ways in which my wife has been loving me for 25 years. But I didn't see it as clearly in year one.
Right.
And my love for her has grown over time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think people need permission to recognize that love for God and the capacity to see God's love for us, not the capacity to, you know, God is always loving us, but we've got all this stuff in the way, which leads to your other question. It's like, mm-hmm. we're so distracted. We grab onto things that we think are going to fulfill us. We don't feel worthy of love for so many various reasons. And there's just all of this like stuff that's in the way, mm-hmm. accumulated stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what the monastic tradition, what the religious orders, they basically create a program that helps people pay attention to what is in the way of me receiving the love of God.
Yep.
Like, what am I clinging on to so tightly? And Jesus does this. If you start reading the scriptures and the gospels through this lens, he's always asking questions of people like, effectively, like, why are you holding on to that thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or can I help you see that you're holding on to something that's not going to actually give you the thing that you want? And so the tradition is just a tradition that says there are some ways that we can live that can cultivate attentiveness to the things that are in the way of me noticing the way in which God is tending to me specifically.
Mm.
And that's what I think the spiritual formation tradition is. It is intentional cultivation of attention to the love of God.
Mm.
The interesting thing, I think, to relate that again, dotted line to the vineyard, is that when we talk about what we're doing in a room when we're facilitating ministry, what are we doing? We're showing up and we just say, well, we're just trying to see what the Lord is doing here
mm-hmm.
in the room. Or when we're doing prayer ministry for somebody, we're trying to listen with the ears of our spirit and see with the eyes of our spirit. All of that stuff is all over the monastic tradition
mm-hmm.
that we have these sort of inner senses that as vineyard people, we are learning to cultivate. And we're just teaching people how to cultivate them in these different ways
mm-hmm.
from this monastic religious order tradition.
Hmm. Well, I'm buying for what it's worth. And what I wonder is obviously, maybe not so obviously to everyone listening, I think it would be a stretch, to put it gently, that someone like John Wimber would be like, I totally see an order coming from the vineyard someday that will do these kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe, who knows? Only the Lord knows. But my hunch is this wasn't sort of in the imagination of people leading this thing called the vineyard.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean because it's in contradiction to anything.
Yeah.
It just means it wasn't necessarily in the playbook. So what are the kinds of things that you imagine, even if somebody's like, hey, I'm not sure I'm going to join an order, but I can see that you're expressing something of the vineyard that we need to grow in together. Mm. What are you noticing? Because you talked about helping to renew local church, building spiritual directors. How are you seeing that changing over time, even in the vineyard or at large?
Yeah. I mean, I think for someone who's like, man, I'm not sure that I want to join an order. I think most people are not going to join an order.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, that's just clear.
Yeah.
I do think it's a particular calling.
Yep.
And we recognize that.
Yep.
what we would say to people is, even if you don't want to join an order, there are ways that the orders have gifted the church with different things that we're now seeing, like obviously a huge, you know, tailwind. Mm-hmm. In, you know, practices like Lectio Divina or contemplative prayer, the practice of solitude. I mean, these are all things that monasteries and religious orders have been holding. And now they're sort of being deposited into the life of the church. And so I would just say, and I do say to people, like, we're here for you. Whatever it is that you might want to lean into, we will receive you. And you might not have any intention at all to join a religious order, but you can come into our formation process and be with people in a formational way and just see what gifts that God might have for you in that process. Mm-hmm. And even to your observation that, yeah, of course this wasn't on Wimber's radar, but the funny thing, I don't think any religious order was ever on the church's radar ever.
Yes.
It just pops up. It's like something that God does, and it's iterative. It's like always being reimagined and renewed. And so like when the Franciscans began, for example, there was no such thing as a monk that was outside of a monastery. And St. Francis is like, well, like, I don't want to live in a monastery. I want to be among the poor in the city. Mm-hmm. Could I be a monk in the city? And they're like, no. And he's like, I'm doing it anyway.
What if I just do it? Yeah, right. Exactly.
And the whole Franciscan order was birthed out of that.
Yep.
The same thing with, you know, Ignatius of Loyola, who was the founder of the Society of Jesus. So I don't think religious orders are ever on the church's radar or anybody's radar. It's mm-hmm. just a move of the spirit. It took me a long time to embrace that. And so I would say to someone, like, if it doesn't make sense, that's okay. It is beginning to make sense, I think, to the church in a new way, because I think the Spirit of God is doing something here.
Mm. Okay. So we have a little time left. Talk to me about pastors, leaders. You know, they're the ones who obviously would think through some of what you're saying through a bit of a different lens. Like,
yeah,
I don't know a pastor alive that's saying, you know, I've got this extra hour and a half a day that I've just been wondering, like, what do I do with this? You know, and I know what you're saying isn't, you know, wouldn't it be cool if you had like an extra time to pray or something? The language you use is very intentional. How are you ordering your life? What is the shape of your life? These are not mm-hmm. just like, you know, add in a few supplements. You know, you're probably short some magnesium. if you take some magnesium, it'll help. This is not that kind of conversation. What have you learned as you've been working with pastors, even in the vineyard, about helping them reorder their life, or, you know, recognize that they need a different shape to their life in order to do this a long time or faithfully, or really walking in the love of God? Because, you know, all the failures and mistakes are really public.
Yeah.
But there's a way to like not have a huge failure and still live weary and tired and sad and bitter.
Yeah, that's right.
So what are you seeing that's helpful? What are you noticing as you're working with different pastors and leaders?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing I tend to just really ask people, pastors, leaders, pretty much anyone, is like, when is the last time you experienced mm-hmm. being loved by God? Like, and if it was like 2 months ago or 3 months ago, that's not going to work.
That's bad. Yeah.
Most people, when I ask them, like specifically, when did you last sort of experience? And it doesn't need to be like a big sort of experience, but just sort of like, man, I just am aware that God loves me, and I can see the way which God is loving me. I think if we don't have like at the ready an answer to that question, basically all of the time, mm-hmm. I think our discipleship is needing some tending to.
Yeah.
And so I start there. And then the second question would be, well, what would it look like Could you imagine just orienting your days around asking that question? And then you start putting in just things like, okay, well, why don't you try like a midday prayer of examine? Mm-hmm. And just ask, Lord, over the past 4 hours since I have been post-coffee, can you just reveal to me the ways in which you have been trying to love me? Mm-hmm. And then try it again in the evening. End of day examine. Just beginning to like cultivate a sense of attentiveness, mm-hmm. I think is like such a great start.
Yep.
To helping people think about keeping themselves in the love of God. This is like little line from the end of Jude's letter. He says, keep yourself in the love of God. Well, how do we do that? There is some attentiveness on our part, that we have to sort of put some things into place.
Yeah.
So those are some basics. And then you just start building, a life from there.
Yeah. Sadly, that's not that basic. I mean, like, for most, I mean, what I find important about what you're saying, and you've heard me riff on the very same things you're describing right now. I spent the better part of a whole national conference saying versions of what you just said as many ways as I could over a number of days. I mean, I had a number of people grab me after that and go, I think you said one thing 4 different ways. Yeah. I was like, yes, that is precisely what
happened. Exactly what I tried to say. Yeah.
Exactly. And saying prioritizing your mornings in a particular way and thinking about your evenings in particular ways. I mean, those aren't just, wouldn't it be nice if, I don't know how people do any of this without that. Mm. And by the way, that's not pastoring. That's just being a human. Who wants a life with God. So I see what you're saying. I agree. If like somebody is saying, Jared, I'm more like coffee shop Jared than like pastor who wants to like know the love of God more, Jared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where does coffee shop Jared start? I mean, the amount of people I know who've come to the end of themselves.
Yeah.
In the sort of frenetic energy of even a life with God. It's a pretty high number at this point.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, there is that one exceptional person who's deconstructing in some kind of weird way. It's a pretty large swath of people who are like, I don't know how much of it's the political moment we're in, how much of it is, you know, there's a few different factors, obviously, but what would you say to coffee shop Jared to be helpful in the ways we're describing?
Like somebody at the end of the rope a little bit, or?
Well, just kind of blown up. I mean, when you describe how you felt in that moment, you were like, what is this?
Yeah.
I mean, what strikes me about your story, which we didn't talk about, which I could have spent a lot of time talking with you about, is what is making you weep on that bench is that the certainty of it all seems not to be matched with like the compassionate heart of God. And that creates a certain kind of problem that like, you got to make some decisions in that moment. Like,
yeah.
Am I just going to go with certainty that doesn't put me in any kind of tension to understand the heart of God?
Yeah.
Or do I try to move toward the heart of God, but I don't even, then is there a God if there, you know, I'm letting go of like how I understood how God works. I have to kind of rebuild a new life with him somehow that is from a different source. So again, I don't know. I mean, when I think back on even your story, it's like that was a necessary step for you to become this person. But there's a lot of people that can't see the next version of themselves. They're just like, or they can't see it in their, you know, their Jamie looking at their spouse. I had an hour long conversation with someone this week. They're like, I don't know. My husband just, he's just depressed. You know, we tried to plant a church. It fell apart. You know, he's wondering if there's any, like, is any of this real?
Yeah.
So what, because I think some of the tools you have are really useful for that conversation.
Yeah. I think I would just say, and again, this might sound, here I am, I've got the same message for that person as I have for the pastor. Yeah,
well, that's good. I like it.
I think that, people need to have permission to start again at the foundation of God is love and God loves you. And it's worth orienting your whole life around getting that, like, as the first thing that you can comprehend. Mm. And, you know, having some sort of spiritual companion, spiritual friendship, meeting with a spiritual director who can help sort of unwind some of all of the other things that are layered on top of that foundation, or maybe that foundation is not even there. I mean, a lot of people, I think, who are deconstructing, they're deconstructing away from the church, which is a mess. But like, not, I mean, I'm a church guy. So like, I'm just like, go to church, find some spiritual friends.
Totally. Yeah.
But in the midst of like, can you just like set aside everything else, all of the questions you're holding, all the questions about doctrine and theology, and like those will come back around, and they're important. We have to think about those things. But for the person that's like, doesn't know which way is up, I would say to them, let me put you with a spiritual guide, a companion, a spiritual director, and just spend some time trying to get at the heart of why you're in so much pain. And why it is that you have a hard time seeing how extravagantly, infinitely in love with you that God is.
Yeah.
And I think if people will give themselves permission to actually just believe that and let that be the foundation, I think it's enough. Like, they're going to be okay. And it might take the rest of their life.
Yeah, totally.
To feel okay.
Yeah, totally.
But I have a lot of hope for people who are in that sort of deconstruction space to have a little bit of a reframe about what this whole story is about.
Yeah, it's good. I was just teaching at some stuff in the UK, and I was running some of the emotional health and spiritual formation frameworks through, you know, this group, bunch of pastors. And then there was like, oh, and I did a whole thing on how addictions work and how much of our spirituality, especially in the charismatic church, has basically been building addictive cycles that are just maybe not steady in the way you're describing, you know, lots of hits as opposed to a way of living a life with God. Anyway, so at the end, a guy came up who has known the Vineyard a long time. It's like, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the work you're doing here, what you're trying to describe. He said, I think the Vineyard has a really interesting place between this new spiritual formation movement that's kind of like taking over a lot of the evangelical world. And then also this, there's this huge revivalistic move of folks in their early 20s and 30s. And we're going to contend for revival or whatever.
Yeah.
Which kind of has a charismatic bent. He said, my concern, and he was an older guy, he said, my concern watching both is they both can tilt towards a kind of Pelagianism. If I just sort of do things enough the right way, God has to do certain things for me in certain ways.
Yeah.
That then will like change me and everything else all at once.
Yeah.
And he says, what I loved about what you're saying is, and it feels very Vineyard, how do we be authentically grounded in a continual way in the presence and the love of God?
That's right.
In ordering our lives in that way. And he kind of just fed it back to me. He says, that feels like the contribution the Vineyard has to both conversations. Because you could run around with the crazy guys who have encounters with the Holy Spirit and be normal. Like, yeah, this is, we know what this is.
Yeah.
This isn't.
Yeah.
We've been on this. We know this roller coaster. We've been on this roller coaster.
Yeah, come Holy Spirit.
Right, let's that's do right. It. Let's go. Exactly. He goes, and because you have a sense of waiting on the Lord and, you know, we can take our time and listen to the Holy Spirit, a lot of the spiritual formation stuff does feel intuitive to you. Like, yeah, I get what we're trying to do here. But both don't have in a lot of their current forms, this sort of authentic, real telling the truth about your life stuff.
That's right. Yes.
That the vineyard has always majored in.
Yeah.
So it was really interesting. He was like, I just want you to hear me. Like, you guys are positioned in an interesting moment in Western Christianity to bring a few of these streams together in a way that will feel very native to you. It'll feel honest. And it'll feel like the vineyard, and it will help a bunch of people. So keep doing what you do. And I thought about you. I thought, this should encourage Jared, I think. You know, and you've just done a lot of work trying to figure this out.
Trying to find the overlap of those streams of the charismatic and the contemplative.
Yeah, totally.
As like two sides of the same coin.
Yes. Yes.
And that it's so strange that like they haven't existed much together.
No. We see moves of that in the Catholic Church, obviously through history, and in Anglican Church. But I think we're in an interesting moment, and even watching young leaders developing, helping them think through some of those frameworks in desperate times. I mean, there's less confidence in just, let's just do churches that we always have. So I really appreciate you, Jared, and I really appreciate you taking so much time with me. This is really...
Man, it's my pleasure. Really great. It's great to catch up.
And we'll throw in the show notes a whole bunch of things about you and where I can see more stuff about you. And I would love to come back and talk to you some more about really practical ways that you're doing this, so we can get more into your head and into your heart and
help
some folks do it. Okay, cool. Well, I appreciate you, man. Thanks.
Yeah, much love, Jay. Thanks.
What if the communities you're building could only be as healthy as you are? Better Together is back, and this year we're going deeper. Join Vineyard USA Associations July 21st through 23rd at North Jersey Vineyard for a transformational gathering where beloved community meets emotionally healthy leadership. Featuring Drew Hyun from Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, you'll discover how to lead from wholeness instead of woundedness and build communities where people don't just attend, they truly belong. This isn't just another conference. It's a reset for your soul and a vision for the community God's called you to lead. Early bird pricing is available through May 4th. So don't wait. Learn more and register today at bettertogether.vineyardusa.org. We'll see you there.